philosophies in my experience and my experiment.
What a week it has been for me. So if you follow me on Instagram or are friends with me on Facebook, you will know that I've had some massive news, really. And it's been quite a journey. So just to give a little bit of background, my husband came home on Thursday from seeing a heart specialist, and basically he has been living on borrowed time. He has a major heart defect, a hereditary thing. It's his aortic valve. He has a bicuspid valve, not a tricuspid, which is what a normal person have. Basically means a normal person has three leaflets in their aortic valve, and my husband only has two. And it's been that way since birth. We're assuming his father also had it. And there are three varying stages of concern when it comes to people. And it's 1.3% of the population who have a bicuspid valve, but there's like three key areas. And the first one is stenosis. The second one is regurgitation. And the third one is dilation of the valve. I believe that's what they call it. And my husband is severe in all three areas. So it's actually quite an incredible story, but he just went in to his GP because we were doing some renos on the house, and he had been putting in some new flooring in my old office. When we pulled all the cupboards out and created my new studio, we converted my old office and to like a little playroom for Mabel, and we as part of that had to redo the floor because it was a bit dodgy. So he had hurt his knee doing that, and he went to the GP just to check that everything was okay, see if he could get a referral for a scan or something, just to make sure he hadn't fucked his MCL. And the doctor said, oh mate, you know, he was a new doctor to the area and he hadn't seen Mikko before, and he was like, oh, I don't really have much medical history on you, even though he's been going to that doctor for 25 years or something, since 1992. He never gets sick, so there hasn't been a need for him to go. You know, occasionally he will, but anyway, the doctor had said, look, I'd like to get some, you know, you're nearing 50, it would be good for you to do a health check, you know, blood test, check your blood pressure, all that kind of jazz, and just make sure everything's good, and I'd love to know a bit about your family history. So Mikko had told him, oh, you know, my dad had some heart issues, and the doctor had said, well, you know, you don't need a referral or anything, but just when you get a chance, book in to see a cardiologist, because I'd like to make sure everything is okay, because, you know, heart disease can be hereditary. So, you know, it's good just to know what you're dealing with. There's probably nothing wrong, but it's a good idea to do it. So Mikko went away and booked into the cardiologist. The blood tests and blood pressure and all that stuff came back, and it was totally fine, in perfect health otherwise. You're all good. And so he waited, took him about 2 months to get in to see the local cardiologist. He went in and the cardiologist said, what brought you in? Mikko's like, oh, my doctor just suggested it. So I thought, well, okay, I'll do it. He goes, mate, that doctor just saved your life. You know, you are basically a heart attack waiting to happen. And we've got to deal with this. This is urgent. So basically that means that open heart surgery, well, it's happening. And soon. So we'll be going up to the Gold Coast. We haven't got a date yet, but we should hear something in the next few days. He has to have some further tests, and then he'll be booked in for a aortic valve replacement and root. So it's a massive surgery. They fully cut the sternum open, and you know, and it has been a big shock, as you can probably imagine, and we're just kind of dealing with it at the moment, one day at a time, really. So I think the first 2-3 days we both just cried a lot, very scared, very anxious, and then we started to see how lucky we are, you know, lucky that, I mean, there's no option here that he has to have surgery. If he doesn't have surgery, he won't last a year. And so, like, you know, it's like, wow, that is quite incredible timing. You know, how lucky that this was, you know, how lucky are we that this doctor kind of just said, off, you know, on the off chance, just go and check it out. So, you know, lucky on so many different levels. Lucky that Australia has such an amazing free public health system, and you know, we won't be vastly out of pocket. We've had to pay for the cardiologist because there was nothing wrong with him. Well, we thought there was nothing wrong with him until we found out there was something majorly wrong with him. And now it's kind of from here on in all covered, which is just, and you know, and the doctors and the surgeons up here, particularly on the Gold Coast, are world class. So, you know, we're in very good hands, feeling very lucky. Also, won't lie, quite nervous because it is a massive surgery. But, you know, I put this out there via Instagram and Facebook because I'm an external processor, as you may have noticed. And I can't keep things to myself. It's like very unhealthy, actually, for me to keep things to myself. So, you know, spoke about it and have had so many amazing people reach out and say, yes, my dad, you know, or my auntie had this surgery, or my mom, or my brother, you know, just people of all ages from their 30s through to their 80s and 90s. And, you know, just a lot of really positive stories of people coming back better than ever post-surgery. And it's so interesting because, like, Mikko hasn't known that he's had this, and he is very fit and active and healthy, and his job is very, he's always worked in physically demanding jobs because that's the way he likes it. And you know, like, it's literally the case that he very well in the next few months would have gone out to work out there with the whippersnipper and, you know, died on us. So yeah, it's been massive. And in that, it's actually taught me a few things about myself, and you know, I don't know, like, there's been so much serendipity and, like, you know, just moments where you're like, so for example, I had my kinesiologist Tara Shields, who I've been working with for years, she has been wanting to run a workshop for a really long time, and I've been egging her on and she's finally decided to do it. So she had said, do you want to come along? And I thought, yeah, I'll come along to support you. And little did I know, I'd be going through one of the biggest things of my entire life. You know, I found out, well, basically 48 hours before this workshop. So, you know, that was just amazing to have that support right there. And then just people reaching out and what can we do? I feel very loved and supported at the moment, which is kind of actually a new feeling. And I was thinking about this the other day. When I had my daughter, I really struggled. That first year was extremely lonely for me, very tough, and I think it's because I was really internal. Like, I didn't you know, I didn't ask for help. I just expected people to know and remember I was there, you know, like struggling, and I never really asked for anything, and I never really told people how they could help. I just got all bitter and twisted, and you know, there was just a lot of expecting people to know going on, and also not being specific in those things that I talk about so much, like what am I available for, and you know, like what is available to me. And I feel like I've really, you know, in the last week, I've had to really get clear on like, okay, what are my boundaries around this, right? Like, so for example, I wrote a big post about explaining to people on Facebook about, you know, what had happened and an update. And well, just very clear, right? Like, I will be asking for help. I'm not sure how that looks yet. It may be meals, it may be, you know, someone to help me with pick up and drop off or play dates or, you know, like shit like that. Or it might even be financial. Maybe I'll ask you to, you know, like maybe I'll set up a GoFundMe because we don't have income insurance and the recovery period is quite big, so you know, so we're not going to have Miko's income coming in for a while, which will be a stress financially. So you know, I'm thinking about ways that people could support me, because they're showing me and they're telling me that they do want to support. So how can I make it easy for them? How can I direct them to what I actually need? And you know, just establishing. So for example, you know, for Miko right now, he's coping so well with it, but at times he does get overwhelmed, and you know, by questions and phone calls and all that kind of jazz. So just like being very clear, okay, if you want to reach out, maybe just shoot a text, because you know, phone calls, he's basically having to tell his story over and over and over again every time someone calls, and it's almost re-traumatizing. So just, you know, setting some boundaries around that. But also I've had to pull back. So this week was actually going to be huge for me. Like, I had a lot on. I'm doing some stuff with my local school here, and also I was doing a public speaking engagement, like on Wednesday night, or tonight when you're probably listening to this, or the day it's released. I also was doing a lot of producing, and basically had to kind of email everyone and be very honest about what's happening, so that I can ask for what I need. You know, like, would you be okay to record the episodes yourself? Because I'm not going to be able to be there, or do you want to postpone? I'll leave that up to you. You know, or I'm feeling like right now I don't know how I'm going to be feeling moment to moment, so I really can't commit to anything, you know. So while I'd love to be at that meeting, I may be, if I'm feeling up for it on the day and it's not feeling too stressful, I'll come along, but I'm not going to guarantee anything, you know. And with the public speaking thing, I sat with it for a while and I thought, oh, you know, I really thought about, how is this adding to my stress right now, or is it, you know, do I feel like this would be a good distraction, or does it feel like a pressure? And it felt like a bit of a pressure, because I still hadn't, with the shock, finding out on Thursday. I don't usually write my talks until a few days before, and I'll just map them out. And so I hadn't done it, and I'm still in shock, to be honest, a bit. So that felt like, because it was a ticketed event and it had sold out, and you know, to say, hey, I'm really sorry, but I'm gonna have to postpone. You know, it's all really big stuff. And in the past, I would have just done it, and I would have placed all this pressure on myself to like, just do it, like, it's just easier to do it. You don't wanna let people down. You don't want to like inconvenience them. But actually, sometimes that's what's necessary. And I feel like all of this practicing for showing up and speaking up has, you know, like really put me in a very good position for navigating this next challenge for us to move through. And, you know, it's the biggest one of my life, and I've been through some really big shit, but to have your husband, you know, with a ticking time bomb in his chest that could go off at any moment, waiting for, you know, a really massive surgery with a long recovery period, is, it's big. And it does at times get overwhelming, but all I can do is be in each moment, moment by moment, and hope for the best. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And I'm so grateful to have this space, to have the community that I've built around me over the past, you know, well, 43 years, really, nearly 44 next month. Yeah, just very, feeling very grateful for so many reasons. And yeah, going to be navigating some big stuff. And look, I don't know how the next little while is going to look. I might need to take a break from here. I might need to be here more often. Who knows? I don't know, because I've never been through anything like this before. So just a bit of an update with a bit of a lesson there too, right? Like creating healthy boundaries. It's a practice, and eventually you do, you know, like, I mean, you start practicing now for when you do, when it does come a time when you really do need them. And then it becomes much easier to navigate this stuff, because those things that were really huge decisions for me before and really felt like really big boundaries to enforce actually are quite easy and natural. And I think it's partly due to the magnitude of what's happening for me, but it's also partly due to the practice that I've had in constantly, you know, like, what is available to me? How can I, because I will, over the next little while, once I know more about surgery dates and all that kind of jazz, I will be asking for help. And it will be specific help, right? And I think that's one mistake a lot of people make, is they're not specific in what they need help with. It's certainly been the case for me. So, you know, I may set up a GoFundMe. I may just say, hey, if you've ever wanted to work with me, now is the time. I'm also thinking about maybe creating another little online course on, you know, showing up and speaking up. You know, Radcasters is there. Tell your friends about Radcasters if they want to start a podcast. You know, I've got this amazing course just sitting there doing nothing. So finding ways to, you know, bring in some extra income. And I think, like, I've already had people, hi Mel, send food. So, you know, I'm not the world's best cook. Miko is the cook. He's also very hands-on. So, you know, I'll be taking a lot of load, but I do have a lot of love and support around me, and I will be leaning into it. So, yeah, if at this stage you're wondering how to help, it would really be buy something from me, or, you know, share my shit with your friends. Tell them to go follow my Instagram. Tell them to, listen to my podcast. Tell them I do human design sessions. Tell them whatever. They want to start a podcast, go check out Carly. I'm pretty sure I will create some kind of course. It might be an audio thing. I'm not really sure how that will look yet, but I'll, because I'm going to have to find ways that are a little bit more leveraged than one-on-one just for the next little while. So, oh, and you know, I do voiceover, you know, like, I'm a voiceover artist. I have an agency. If you know people who work in e-learning, or you work for a big corporation and they have a learning department and they're producing learning programs, like, give them my details. That's all stuff that you can do to, help me, weather the coming weeks and months. So that's it from me today. Until next week, peace out.
Carlos and Fees, I'm Carly Nimmo.